The Pack AD mit Big Shot auf Lux FM. Die Damen aus Vancouver spielen heute Abend in der schönen Berghain-Kantine und haben es vorher eben zu mir ins Studio geschafft. Wir quatschen über die Sessions zur neuen LP Do Not Engage, die mit dem durchaus berühmt-berüchtigten Produzenten Jim Diamond stattfanden, den man ja von seiner Arbeit für die White Stripes oder eben auch als Dirt Bombs Bassisten kennt. Wir reden über die Städte Vancouver und Detroit, die als Recording-Session-Orte funktioniert haben für diese Platte. Wir reden über die Vor- und Nachteile des Duo-Daseins, das scheinbar endlose Touren und vieles, vieles mehr. First of all, sage ich aber hello and welcome.
Hello.
Hier sind Maya Miller und Becky Black. Welcome to Pack AD.
Thank you so much for having us.
No problem. It's our pleasure. How have you been? How's touring been so far? Where are you coming from today?
Today we're coming from Hamburg.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
that's
so not
too
so far.
Far. Yeah. That's not
no,
too far.
This one was an easy drive. Yeah.
So I was playing there yesterday. Did people enjoy
good,
your
yeah,
show?
Yeah, nice. Yeah, it was
cool.
Really good.
Cool. So congratulations on your fifth LP. Do Not Engage, that's been out here since the end of January, I think. And it's been recorded with your pal, Jim Diamond, as a producer for the second time, I think.
Second time.
What was the main reason for you to work with him again? Was there a certain amount of trust that you had built up with this guy that you wanted to use again? Or do you just appreciate the way he's listening to your music? What's the reason?
He does a good job, and I think it's partly just a creature of habit sort of thing. We like to kind of stick to the same theme.
Changes for suckers.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't like change. No, and working with Jim is really super easy. We all kind of have the same mentality. We're all on the same page musically. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's really important. I mean, especially when it comes to having the trust with the guy who's in the studio with you have to trust him a lot, right? To hand over your music, kind of, or to let him... Yeah. Tell you to let him have ideas to that music. You have to have a lot of trust to the producer.
Definitely.
Yeah, totally.
Cool. So it's been great with him again. You've recorded parts of the album in Vancouver, Canada, which makes perfectly sense because you're living there, right?
Yes.
And then you've also been producing stuff for the LP in Detroit. I guess that's where Jim lives.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's making sense again.
Yeah.
But what was the idea behind splitting up the recording sessions? Because that doesn't make too much sense.
No, it
to
doesn't.
Having to travel, you know?
Yeah. Well, we were on the other side of the country doing some festivals, and we decided to drop in at Jim's studio and record stuff. And we weren't even sure whether it would be an EP or an LP or eventually what we were going to do with it. But we just recorded some songs there, and then we ended up recording a few months later in Vancouver and compiled all the tracks.
Yeah, then we had to go back to Detroit, and then Jim had to put them together and kind of make them, you know, not that we were trying to lie and say they were in the same studio, because they weren't, but make them cohesive, you know, as an album.
But I think
it was fun.
And I think this was easier than to try the same thing with music that has been produced by different people or something like that.
Yeah.
I think the different rooms, you can blend them together
exactly.
In the mix. It's not a problem that I can fix, because I can do it in the mix. Something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
In comparison to your previous works, this LP sounds a bit bigger, and it sounds as if you were using more more lanes of music, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I really read that you guys opened up to using the studio as an instrument for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Have there been tricks Jim had to talk you into? It was like, we could double those guitars here, and you'd be like, no, we don't. We would want to sound exactly like we sound live, and he'd be like... Yeah, but if you want to use a studio as an instrument.
I think the only time we had didn't double the guitars was our first album.
Okay.
So we've done that, but I play a little bass on this album on the choruses and stuff.
Cheating.
Oh, yeah.
Well, a little bit of
cheating. But you could do that in a recording, and it's, you know, it's fine. But,
and band sheets.
No, and I really think that in the last few years, bands have found out more and more about the fact that it's okay to have a different different style of music on your show than to have it on the record. I think it's not as in the 80s and 90s where fans were like, oh, they have a third guitar on there and they have never used that live. I will not forgive them.
Yeah.
I will never listen to that music again. I think this period is kind of like over, so why not use the instrument?
It's good. It's good.
Recording,
they should be two different
music
things.
And live music, they're separate entities. Really.
Yeah, sure.
They can.
And I think nowadays bands even dare to play their songs faster when they play them live. And, you know, it's okay because it's another adrenaline thing and it's good.
Well, it's good because, I mean, if you want to show up and listen to the album, you could stay home and save money.
Sure.
So, you know, right.
Totally. So what was working in Detroit like? Were you just at Jim's studio? Because I imagine Detroit to be a super inspirational city right now with all the stuff that's going down there, literally.
Yeah.
You know? Have you been inspired by the studio? Or did you just go into the studio of Jim's and then left again?
Oh, yeah, you actually wrote a song.
Yeah, I wrote a song that's actually kind of basically about Detroit. Mm-hmm. It's one of our singles called Motivate. I don't know. I think it definitely had an influence. I mean, it's fascinating. That city's fascinating. Yeah. Actually, it's interesting that they only recently declared bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Which
yeah,
is bizarre. It's like, really? They didn't do that a while ago? You know, but there's people are moving back in now into the suburbs. Like, this, you know, the outskirts of the city are quite populated. But where Jim's studio is right downtown where there's, like, nobody.
Wow.
And so it's pretty, yeah, it's weird. It's very life after people.
Yeah, interesting, though. Yeah. When I look at documentaries about Detroit, I really have the feeling that it's like a post-apocalyptic kind of city. And that must be interesting. Yeah. Especially if when so many people who work in the creative part of industries or who are artists move there right now and try to reclaim the city.
Yeah, and that is what's happening.
But something inspiring in destitution or something, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. But you can walk blocks and blocks and not see another person. Wow. But there's evidence of people all over the place.
Blasky.
You know, and it's a little weird. It's kind of creepy.
Yeah, but interesting as well. Yeah. Let's listen to another song of yours before we talk a bit more and before we give away tickets for tonight's show.
Excellent.
Here's one of the songs, one of the few songs that had been changed a little bit. That's what I read. We're going to be talking about that later. He's at the Pack AD Mid Animal. PackAD mit Animal auf Lux FM am Montagnachmittag. Ich habe ja gelesen, dass Animal eines der wenigen Stücke ist, an dem nochmal rumgeschraubt wurde. Normalerweise versucht die Band, an den ursprünglichen Demos so nah dran zu bleiben wie möglich. Was da jetzt genau passiert ist mit dem eben gehörten Lied, das will ich nochmal wissen. I've read that Animal is one of the few songs that had been changed actually before you recorded it again. Is that something that you're normally trying to avoid? You're trying to go with the first demo idea or something? Can you explain that a little
more? Well, we recorded it once and we just didn't like it, I guess.
I just wasn't doing anything interesting with the drums. I really wanted to change my drum beat.
So we just changed it a bit and re-recorded it.
And the lyrics and we just redid the whole thing top to bottom. But usually when we redo things, they don't make it to the album.
That's what
they usually end up being scraps.
Yeah.
But this one actually did. Yeah, it just needed to...
And what is the idea behind trying to avoid redoing stuff? Is it something? Do you have the feeling that if you stay close to the original demo and the original idea and don't overthink things, that it's closer to what you really felt in your gut? Or what's the reason for that?
It's just, I don't know, it's like over
laziness again.
Yeah, maybe.
I hate backtracking. You know, if you leave something somewhere and then you leave and then you go, oh, I left it. I never want to go back and get what I left. Okay. I hate backtracking.
And it's kind of like over kneading dough. You know, like you just gotta leave it when it's done. It's done.
And
let it sit.
Yeah, and some songs won't improve by constantly redoing them or whatever. Yeah. So sometimes they're just better at the start and then they deteriorate. So
And I really talk to people a lot and they say when I start overthinking my lyrics and I start to bend them lyrics and get into a certain direction, they move in further away from me and my soul and the initial thought that I had.
Yeah.
And so many people that I talk to, they're basically telling me they just write down stuff and they try to sing it into the microphone exactly that way, or even try to improvise stuff because that's how they get to the... to the core of things.
I think that makes a lot of sense. I think that sometimes when you rework something, you imbue the product with this air of preciousness, and it's so precious, and it really shouldn't be that precious. You know, you should be able
honesty
to throw it away
more
or not.
Right? Too. Trust your instincts and that whole.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah. Thank you for doing so. I really think it leads to great.
Thank you.
Great results. With your first four records, you've been touring endlessly, like nonstop. Like you didn't even know where you're coming from anymore. I think.
No, we did not.
but how important is getting along as a duo for those long tour sessions? And how do you? How do you accomplish that? Is there something? Is it good to be a duo for those long tours? Maybe. Even
I don't know. I think in our earlier years, we had a lot more moments where we almost broke up as a band. You know, like it's hard for things not to implode when you spend that much time with one other person.
Sure.
But but I think
we've leveled off.
Yeah, you know, we've gotten past that. It's like it's like a marriage in a way.
I don't know. It's because we'll spend a lot of time not talking or anything. So it's fine. It works out. Yeah. So we still get along. But I think it's hard to. it's hard to say that about many people. If you spend enough time with someone, you know, it's kind of crazy.
No, and I really think maybe that's an advantage of being a duo as well. Yeah. I mean, despite the money.
Well, yeah. Well, there's less people. There's not people that you can't take sides with, you know, fight with. And I'm taking this guy's side. And you only have your own side.
And then you met each other so long ago that you basically know each other now very well. And if there would be a third or the fourth person, you have to know them very well too, you know.
So yeah, that's true.
There might be an advantage to touring as a duo.
I think so.
I think there's an advantage to the people out there because you play a show in Berlin tonight. And I can give away some tickets for that. Wer also heute Abend The Pack AD angucken möchte in der Kantine des Berghain, wo sie ihre neue Platte Do Not Engage vorstellen werden, der ruft mich jetzt an unter der 030 2000 9000. Berlin 2000 9000 ist die Nummer zum Glück und wer durchkommt, steht auf der Gästeliste für The Pack AD heute Abend in der Berghain Kantine. Becky and Maya, thanks again for visiting us.
Thank you.
Please come back again as soon as possible. You know where we are right now.
Yes.
And then we can talk a little bit more.
I want to come back in the summer and go out there on the, the water.
Sure. You're already reinvited. You know,
excellent.
You know where we live, right?
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. Have fun at tonight's show. Bye.
Bye.